I'm here speaking with Brian Hulk, Veteran Service Officer for Bonner County. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Great. I really appreciate your coming on. I know we want to talk about veteran services, and because Veterans Day is right here, right now, what that means. But let's start with just a little bit about you, our Bonner County Veteran Service Officer. Can you give us a little bit about your background?
In a nutshell, the reason why I have this job is because I am a veteran. I enlisted 1978. My fiance asked me 8 months earlier, how come you never served in the military? And we were both seniors in college. And so I didn't have a good answer for her. So 3 weeks later, I raised my right hand under the delayed entry program. I became a private in the infantry. And my company commander said, you need to go to OCS, Officer Candidate School. So I went, and then I went to infantry officer, basic course, jump school, and then I went to flight school. I applied for that. So I flew helicopters at Fort Hood, Texas for 4 years. That was all during the peacetime in between Vietnam and the Gulf War. I actually got out in 1984 to go to school. I went to seminary, and I branch transferred to the Chaplaincy Corps in 1988, and I served an additional 22 years from that point and retired in 2010, serving at all levels of the Chaplaincy Corps.
And what branch of the military were you in?
I was in the Army, all three, Army Active Duty, Reserve, and National Guard.
So the Army has flight. I mean, they have, of course, they have helicopters.
The Army has more aircraft than the Air Force. They're just a lot smaller.
That's good to know. And really, the what were you? You were in the part at the end. You were a chaplain.
In the chaplain, yes.
And how was that? I mean, how important is it to have a chaplain on base, let's say?
It is extremely important because when a soldier, sailor, airman, Marine goes into combat, he needs somebody to go with him. Not somebody that's back, but somebody who will go to the field, to the combat site, and provide spiritual support to him.
So during the Gulf War, were you over in?
No, actually, I was in the reserves at that time, and I did not get activated.
Okay. So that gives us a little bit of a background. And we often say, and I can say this to you, thank you for your service. And what does that really mean? I mean, as a young fellow in 1978, you decided to sign up and had a large career, a long career in that. But what does it mean to you? And what do you think in general does it mean to serve your country in the military?
Great question. I came from a military background. My father and grandfather were both in the Navy. My grandfather was very disappointed in me that I didn't go in the Navy. But for service, it meant that I looked at those who went before me, those who were willing to wear the uniform, and many of those who died on the battlefield so that we could have freedom today. The politicians, the journalists, the campus organizers, they don't provide freedom. It's those who wear the uniform and are willing to sacrifice themselves, provide freedom. And so I wanted to be a part of that in order so that my future bride and my family, now my grandchildren, can live in freedom.
And when you say freedom, how is that different from other places in the world? Do you see that this country really supports freedom in a different way than somewhere else? What does that mean?
I appreciate our republic form of government, and it is different than most countries. So I believe freedom is to make decisions based on what the founding fathers said in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all of their writings, that this country was founded on the principle of freedom to worship and freedom to live, et cetera. Was everything done right? No. But no other country has propagated or provided or blessed the world like the United States.
I get that, and I agree. So that gives us a little picture of what a young person now might be looking at when they're making a decision to serve their country in the military. And then I'm staying on the personal side here. How did you help those that might be going over to combat? How does that whole thing play in from a chaplain's point of view?
So my privilege, I was assigned to the National Guard Bureau, and I went to every state, and I met with the adjutant general of the states, the state chaplain, to see what training they were providing to make sure that the UMTs, the unit ministry teams, were ready to go to be deployed. Then I also went to the mobilization sites that we have to make sure that those who were actually being deployed, they had received the information. And both the unit ministry teams, the chaplains and chaplain assistants, as well as the soldier, sailor, airman, marine, they all need encouragement. Of all people, the soldier, sailor, airman, marines, they don't want war. They really don't. They pray against it. But they are there because they're willing to face their fears and do what is right. So I had a big part of encouraging them, making sure they were ready, and answering a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. And they take the word of the politicians who make the decision to go to war or to protect this country's freedoms. And also, so there's a bit of trust involved in accepting that deployment, so to speak.
That is part of the oath of office that we agree to support the Constitution and the orders of those appointed over us.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, well, thank you for kind of illuminating that whole side of serving our country and those that do serve. Let's get to what you do here in Bonner County. We have a Veterans Service Office, and you are the officer that helps with that. Why don't you give us a picture of what that means? It's different than the VA, so I'm just going to let you kind of unfold that picture for us.
Thanks, Susie. I am the advocate of veterans to the VA. I work for Bonner County. Bonner County pays me to be their advocate. I don't do everything. I answer a lot of questions. I help them make claims. I help them get into the health system. I help them with end of life issues. My mission statement is serving Bonner County veterans one hero at a time. It's the main statement of what I do, serving Bonner County veterans. And it also expresses my attitude, one hero at a time.
I'm going to fall back a little bit more to philosophical thoughts and feelings. When you say hero, what does that mean?
For those who are willing to put on the uniform, and I call it the sacred cloth of the United States, because they were the ones who saluted the flag, carried the flag, and many were buried in a casket with the flag over them. They are the heroes because they were willing to agree to serve their country and wrote a check that was up to and including their life. That to me is a hero. It's not the sports figures. It's not all the entertainment industry. It's those who are willing to shed blood for the sake of everyone else in the United States.
When you think how precious life is, and we only have one life, to make that decision is solemn.
Yes.
It's incredibly. I agree with you using the word hero and honoring them. We'll talk a little bit about how we can do that, but let's continue with what your office does. I'm wondering how you see the need here in Bonner County to have an advocate to the VA.
We're privileged to be able to support this position. We have somewhere between 4,600 and 6,000 veterans. The number kind of varies what is given to me. I have files on 2,200 veterans, so I have served that many. I have probably well over 100 claims or relationships ongoing or active at any time at different stages of development. A veteran and or his family will come in for a need, and I will help them through the process. I put myself in their shoes, and I put myself in the shoes of the VA. The reason why I put myself in the shoes of the VA is because that helps me explain to the veteran what they need in order to give a good claim, make a good claim. I don't want to waste the veteran's time. I don't want to waste the VA's time, the taxpayer's money. I want to do things efficiently and completely so that we can help them. I help them. The VA is composed of three arms: Veteran Health Administration, which is the medical; Veteran Benefit Administration, which is all the disability compensation, pension, life insurance, education, many other things; and then Veteran Cemetery Administration, which is the end of life type things.
And so let's get into each of those a little bit. And I want to also just reiterate that you are an advocate. So if they go into the VA process, say for benefits and or health, and they're looking to either them or their dependents to get some help or to resolve a problem of some sort, and they are denied service for any reason, do you go the next step and say, let's appeal that? Is there an appeals process that you help navigate?
Absolutely. There's an appeal process for everything with the VA. For example, if a soldier fell off a Dusenav, hurt his knee back in 1983, and he still has trouble with his knee, we'll make a claim for that. Let's say the VA denies it. There's actually three routes of appeal. There's appeal with supplemental information. For example, maybe there weren't medical records, but he had written letters. I've had veterans bring in letters that they wrote to mom or to a wife, and it brings you to tears, all that they did, some of the letters. But those sometimes become an evidence to support the fact that, no, they did fall off the Dusenav, hurt their knee in the military. It wasn't because of a logging accident or something else after the military. So there's supplemental information. Secondly, there's an appeal of a higher level review. So if we look at the denial letter and we see that the VA disregarded something in the Code of Federal Regulations, that's this book I'm showing you, Susan, this right here. Every Code of Federal Regulation for the veterans is number 38. And it's, two huge books, several thousand pages. We'll go through there and see, did they miss something in that law? The third approach is the Board of Veteran Appeal. The Board of Veteran Appeal is governed by a veteran law judge, and the veteran law judge has more leniency or flexibility than the Code of Federal Regulation. He can listen to it, say, it really makes sense. We're going to give him an award, and we will remand it back to the VA to do another CNP exam, compensation and pension exam, to determine, what is going on with his knee, for example. So I'll walk them through that. And now that we're in the new modern appeal process, a veteran can continue to appeal at one of those three levels.
It's a long process. And when you're talking about 4,600 vets in our area, not all of them are in that process right now, but it can be a real need to have someone such as yourself, an advocate with the Veterans Affairs. It seems like the Veterans Affairs organization must be huge bureaucracy. And this little person trying to move into that bureaucracy to get some help after serving their country, it's what your job is, really vital for our people here in our county.
There are 22 million veterans alive today. There are 9 million in the health system. And so, yes, it's overwhelming. The VA, the forms that you have to fill out, there's so many boxes on there. There are some people who will do it themselves, and the VA is provided for that. But I encourage people to come through a VSO, because we keep track of the paperwork. There's a paper trail, and we can walk them through. This is what I do for the last 6.5 years. Am I going to know everything? No, I learn something every week, it seems, because there's so many unique situations with veterans and their families. And some veterans really get exasperated with the VA. And so I'll try to slow things down and to help them realize what I can do to help them or help them understand the process.
And when you say VSO to help them, that's the Veterans Service Officer or organ or office. And yes, that's what you do. And what I'm wondering is how much outreach do you do? Because there's the vets that are back in the woods that still need help. So how do you, or is that part of your job too?
Yeah, no, I don't do walks through the woods, but we do public service announcements, and I'll go to Clark Fork Library every other month and Priest River VFW every other month. So I'll get out that way. I also help veterans. If I need to do a home visit, I will do that. But I have veterans from Sanders County in Montana, Boundary County in Idaho, Kootenai County, Idaho, Ponderay County, Washington, who will drive to my office here and I will help them, but I won't drive outside of the county.
Right. So Bonner County Veterans Service Office, and you're the officer, is funded by Bonner County, rightfully so. Is there a Veterans Service Office in every county in Idaho and or the country? I mean,
In many states there are, because of the density of the population. Because Idaho's population is not very dense, there's many countries that cannot afford to pay a Veterans Service Officer. For example, in Boundary County, just north of us, the Veterans Service Officer, Ron Self, he works 10 hours a week. So there, and that actually, prior to Ron, it was a volunteer position. I think they received a stipend, but very small. And then you get to some counties, Shoshone or other counties, where that person has one or two other jobs in the county, as well as the Veteran Service Officer. In Washington State, they've got a totally different setup. They'll have veterans through the VFW or American Legion, many of them who are volunteers. And their Veteran Service Officers has a different role of helping them with rent maybe twice a year or some other expenditures. Whereas when a veteran comes to me, I refer them to the VFW, and I've got a great relationship with Larry Peterson, Julie Washburn, and Ken Hunt that vet the veterans for needs like that.
Okay, so you can be a referral to the social work section. Yes. Where they could get that kind of help. Okay, so I want to get to the contact information. Before we get there, you're advocating with the VA, and you see sometimes that people need more. There could be emotional support. There could be, what other ways in our community are there, is there support for that side of things, the social work side? You just mentioned the VFW, that's Veterans of Foreign War, with Larry Peterson, et cetera. But there's such a spectrum of what kind of help a veteran might need.
So we're really blessed to have in Sandpoint here a VA clinic. It's a rural health clinic, and they have social workers assigned to that clinic, where if they have a PCP, a primary care provider at the clinic, the PCP can give a referral to a social worker to go and do an assessment with the veteran. Do they need additional help? And there also is another program called VDC, Veteran Directed Care, run by Lena Young out of the VA Medical Center. She can send out an additional social worker associated with her to see, yep, he needs $2,000 a month that he can hire and or fire the aid that would come in because of his service-connected conditions. So there is a lot of support, but that's mainly on the health side. The VFW, American Legion, Vietnam Veteran of America, Marine Corps League, those aren't social work so much as they're good social organizations supporting the veterans.
Kind of, again, back to the recognition, honoring, and appreciation side of things.
And providing assistance, yes.
Last week, I interviewed a gal, Julie Clerk, from the Daughters of the American Revolution. I know they have an event coming up to honor and show appreciation to our veterans in our community and Boundary County also. So we can get to the How can someone find out more? What are some of the contact information, probably websites, that if someone was curious? By the way, for our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY, and I'm speaking with Brian Holt. He's the Veteran Service Officer for Bonner County. And again, hi, thanks, Brian. So what are some of those contact?
Well, my contact phone number is 208-255-5291, extension 1. And I've got a new admin assistant. Her name is Mary Lindgren. She just started last week. She is very bright and very helpful. Then there's the number at the VA in Spokane. Main number is 509-434-7000. 509-434-7000. And you can get to a lot of different helps through them, especially if you press 0 twice at different times, you'll get to the operator who can refer you. And you mentioned the Daughters of the American Revolution. They've got that. There are the, they're putting on an event November 20th at the Sandpoint Event Center on the third floor, where there are going to be two speakers, Dick Godbehere, Vietnam War veteran, and Elwood Berry, World War II veteran, appreciation. Tomorrow, or today, at the on Veterans Day at 9:30, veterans who would show up at the high school, what they need to do is show up at the First Baptist Church across the street at 9:30. Then at 9:45, they'll have a police escort across the street in their cars to a lineup of the Sandpoint High School students, where they're going to express their appreciation. I also want to mention the YMCA has a salute to heroes and their families, a free 2-week YMCA guest pass. So contact the YMCA about that for a free 2-week guest pass. And then next Wednesday night, November 17th, seniors and veterans have a free Thanksgiving dinner put on by the Elks Lodge. And that's out at the Elks Golf Course, starting from 3:30 until 7 p.m., November 17th.
Is there a newsletter where veterans kind of network all this information?
Yeah, our office puts out a distro list. And so if they're not on that distro list, please contact and have Mary Lindgren put your email address on that. So when we send out things, you'll get that. We would put that out probably once a month. We get a lot of information from the Spokane VA Medical Center.
Fantastic. Well, let's end this little chat. It's been very nice talking with you and finding out more about support for our veterans and ways that the high school is honoring them on Veterans Day. That's, you'll hear this interview on Veterans Day. But how can we as a community members honor our veterans?
We're blessed to live in a country right now where veterans are honored very well, compared to when the Vietnam veterans came home from Vietnam, when they were spit upon and called horrible things. When I see them, I say, thank you, welcome home, and thank you for your service, whenever it's a Vietnam veteran. Sometimes it can become colloquial or just a phrase, you know, thanks for your service, but it's still nice to recognize that. And we're blessed to have a few organizations in the community put out information of businesses who are supporting veterans. So if they wanted ways to support, I would encourage them to contact Larry Peterson, Julie Washburn, or Ken Hunt at 263-9613. That's the VFW in Sandpoint. Phone number 263-9613. There you go, 208.
There you go. And I think there's a lot of contact information on your site, which is Bonner County Veterans Services, about some of those other ways to have connectivity to services and support. I know that my brother was a Vietnam veteran that was disabled, and he found a lot of support here in this community. He was a VFW, and the Vietnam veterans group. And so he knew everyone. I think he was felt really good about being part of that community. And so that's what we have. We do honor our veterans. We do thank them. And for Vietnam veterans, we say welcome home and thank you for your service. And Brian, thank you for your service and for taking the time to talk about veteran services here today.
My privilege, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.